Hello and welcome to Tony Broom Ministries. The following sermon from Acts chapter 1 is entitled, Election of Matthias.
Everybody has been just caught up in the news all about the election, things that are going on. Elections didn't just start when the United States was founded. The first church election is in the book of Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 15. And I want to talk to you about a three-word title, Election of Matthias. Matthias, his name means gift of the Lord. Election of Matthias was the first church election that they had. And it happened in Acts chapter 1. And it happened right before the day of Pentecost. I don't know exactly which day it happened, but it happened sometime in that time period that they were waiting on the Holy Spirit. Some people think that when they were in there, they just sat around and sang Kumbaya or ate toast, or I don't know what they thought they were doing. But they actually met together and they prayed together and they took care of business. This was an item of business that needed to be taken care of. There was a need for this election. They didn't have it just to have something to do. There was a need. Acts chapter 1 verse 15. In those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of the names together were about 120. So this is where we get it. You ever wondered where they got that they had 120 in the upper room? Well, this is where it came from in Acts chapter 1. The number of names together were 120. This is what Peter said. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. So this is a fulfillment of scripture. The reason that Matthias was elected is because there was a need for it, and the scripture had said that this would happen. You know, Judas was the one who betrayed the Lord. And because he hung himself, he had to have a replacement. This is why Matthias was elected, because Judas had turned his back on the Lord and betrayed the Lord. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Just think about it. He had obtained part of the ministry. He was part of the apostles. He had seen the works of the Lord and no doubt had been involved in doing ministry. He was one that had the money bag. Got to watch those who keep the money bag sometimes. Amen. Judas, John said he was a thief. And he carried the purse and what was in it. So he had some problems, but he had a choice. He could have turned around. He could have given his life to the Lord. He could have repented, but he didn't do it. He got involved in the political scene. He got involved in the chief priests, and they promised to give him money, and he promised to betray the Lord and ended up doing it. But Peter said, we need to replace him because he had part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. That's a gruesome description, but it's talking about Judas. This is what happened. He tried to throw the money back in the temple. They wouldn't have it. I've betrayed the innocent blood, he said. And you see to that, they told him. So he went out and hung himself. When the devil gets a hold of somebody, if they don't turn their life around to the Lord, the devil will see to it they're destroyed. He comes to steal and kill and to destroy. That's what he wants to do. He will not stop. He won't bother you just a little bit and let you alone. He will not stop until you destroy it. And that's what he wants to do to our young people. That's what he wants to do to churches. It's like he hit the world with a big right hand of this pandemic and virus, and then he takes his left hand and hits the churches, hits the United States, tries to destroy and divide and one side against another. And this happened, this man Judas, this tragic end, He hung himself, burst asunder, his bowels gushed out. All it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch that that field is called in their proper tongue a Seldama, that is to say, the field of blood. To take the money, the 30 pieces of silver that he got for betraying the Lord, it was not lawful for them to put it into the treasury of the temple, so they had to take it. And they bought this field to bury strangers in, and they called it the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, this is quoted from Psalm 109, verse 8, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. There was this lady who was a wonderful Christian lady, and her friends and family knew that she didn't approve of the one that was president at that time. She didn't approve of him. She didn't like his policies. They knew that she was a Christian. So they asked her, do you pray for your president? Scripture said we ought to pray for those in authority over us. She said, yes, I sure do. I pray the Psalm 109:8 prayer. And they said, what in the world is a Psalm 109:8 prayer? She said, let his days be few and let another take his office. And that's the way she prayed for the president. But she did pray for the president. The need for this election. There was a need because the scripture had said that Judas would fail. And so when he did, they had to have him replaced. The qualifications are seen in verses 21 and 22. Wherefore, of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness of his resurrection? This was the qualification of the one who would replace Judas Iscariot. It had to be one that was with them all the time. It had to be one who went in and out among them from the time that the baptism of John until that same time in which Jesus was taken up from them. So the teaching is out, has been out for many years, that Matthias really shouldn't be the one. Paul should have been the one. And you've heard preachers maybe say that. Paul should have been the one. Well, Paul had his own ministry. Paul was an apostle to the Gentiles. Paul was used mightily of the Lord. He wrote most of the books of the New Testament. But Paul was not this replacement. This was not to be the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul wasn't even saved at that time. He was saved a little later. Came to the Lord on the road to Damascus. So Paul wasn't even saved at that time. He was not an original follower. He was not one who was there all the time. The ministry of Jesus was going on. So this particular individual had to be there, accompanying among the disciples from the time that the baptism of John until the ascension of Christ. Must one be ordained to be a witness of the resurrection? To be an apostle, you had to be an eyewitness of the resurrection. And so that was the qualifications. When you have elections, whether it be a national election, a local election, a church election, there are to be qualifications. This is a qualification of this particular person who would be a replacement. He had to be an apostle, and he would be numbered with the apostles. The nomination. Well, who are you going to nominate? Verse 23, and they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. So that was their nomination. Both of these men were candidates. Either one of them could have served. So you have two that were nominated. A lot of times when you have two or more candidates that are nominated for election, it puts a siding between one or the other. It puts a friction between one or the other. But the thing about the church election here, the first church election, you have no record of squabbling or confusion or fussing or going back and forth. They had these two individuals, either one of them could have served this position. So you have two nominations. And then the prayer, verse 24 and 25, and they prayed and said, now they prayed about it. When you are going to do something, especially in the church and even in the nation, we should pray about what we do, because we need God's guidance.
Amen.
If people had prayed about what they have done in our elections, it would turn out a whole lot different many times than it does. Because God is not a God of confusion. He doesn't guide some people one way and some people another way. He guides us all into the way of righteousness. And so we're to pray about what we do, especially when it concerns the business of the king. Mm-hmm. Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether these two thou hast chosen. That was a prayer that they prayed, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression failed, that he might go to his own place. Judas went to his own place, all right. And that's a place where all wicked people go, and you don't want to go there. That's a bad place. It's a hot place. All of us appreciate a little heat on the subject sometimes, but we don't want that much heat.
Amen.
You don't want to go to that hellfire where it's real hot. That's where Judas went. He went to his own place. Nobody wants to go there. We don't want our worst enemy, if there is such a thing. We don't want them to go there. We don't want our family to go there. We don't want anyone to go there. That's where Judas went. And the scripture here definitely said that's where he went. He went to his own place. We need you to help us, Lord. And they pray like this. They pray, Lord, you who know the hearts of all men. We know that God knows everyone's heart. You know, Lord, we cannot do this without you. We need you to help us. You who know the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen. There again, it could not be the Apostle Paul, because there were only two that were nominated. And they said, show which of these two you have chosen. So they are seeking God's will. They're seeking God's favor. They're having this election. It's something that needs to be done, because Jesus chose 12 apostles. And it said several times since Judas fell and when Jesus was resurrected, it said the 11 went away into Galilee, and the 11 did that. It's odd when you talk about 11. I smile because I think about the Easter play several years ago. They wanted to find 12 people who would play the 12 disciples of Jesus. And I say, well, you only need 11 because one of them conked out, you know. After he betrayed the Lord, he hung himself. You don't really need 12. All you need is 11. So, it's amazing how we get this thing where Jesus had 12 disciples. We need 12 to play. No, you just need 11. But they really needed 12 because 11 was this odd number. You need to replace him. Jesus chose 12. Lord, show which one of these. Show which one of these you've chosen. So they prayed about it. Then the vote, verse 26, they gave forth their lots. And the word for lot is kleros. It's a Greek word that means a lot or portion. There was a Dr. Kenneth Wiest, who is one of the best translating of the Greek New Testament. He has one of the best translations. His translation spoke in the way that the people who lived in that day would think when they read the Bible. And Wiest's translation of that verse said, they handed out lots to be placed in an urn. They cast forth their lots. And he says, Wiest says, they handed out lots to be cast in an urn. So, well, you say, what's the big deal about that? That tells me that the election process really hasn't changed that much. That's where we get it from. That's why we have ballots. That's why we have little handmade papers that you vote with or whatever. And here they were to be cast in an urn. They were to be taken up. And that's the way you do it. All these years later, when Barnabas and Saul, the apostles gave them the right hand of fellowship. And that's what we do when we have people to join the church. We give them the right hand of fellowship. We shake their hand and welcome them into the family of God, into our church. And the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Matthias is God's choice. Now, the other one, we don't hear anything about him. We don't really hear that much about Matthias. Matthias didn't have a big name for himself, but he did what he was supposed to do. We may not have a big name for ourselves, but we do what we're supposed to do. That's what's important. When you follow the Lord, you're born again, whether your name is spoken or not, whether your name is put in the bulletin or not, whether you have a big recognition about you or not, that's not what's important. The important thing is that you have your lot, you have your position, you do what you're supposed to do. It may be just speaking a kind word. It may be just being faithful to church. You know, if there were not faithful folks to come to church, there'd be no need to have all this preaching and all this singing and all this is going on. You wouldn't have to have it. But thank God there are people to come to church. Now, I wouldn't want to come just preach to myself. And my wife, she hears me enough, so I need to just preach to her. But I'm glad there are faithful folks that will come to listen to the Word of God, to enjoy the blessings of God. And that's what Matthias, he was involved in ministry. Now he's taken into the apostleship. He's part of the apostles. And this other Justice, you don't hear anything from him. With our elections now in America and the other nations, whoever the losing party is, they just lost. You don't hear much about them. They may cause trouble or do whatever, but you have a winner and you have a loser. And in this election, you have one that was chosen, but you have no loser. In Jesus, there is no loser.
Amen.
Yeah. I heard preachers talk about it. Everybody can't win. Everybody can't be on the team. Well, it's according on what kind of team you're talking about.
Amen.
If you're talking about a worldly team or a ball team, yeah, only the good ones make it. That's not the way it is in Jesus. In Jesus, anybody can make it. All born-again people are elected in Jesus. All born-again people win on Jesus' team. There are no losers on Jesus' team. There's no first and second and third. Jesus is first and that's it.
Amen.
On Jesus' team, everybody wins. Just because Justice or Barsabbas, just because the other one was not selected to be the one to replace Judas, that doesn't mean that he is a loser. He didn't lose. He was not numbered with the apostles, but he was still numbered in the kingdom of God. He still had ministry. He still had things that he did. God doesn't go by your name or by your tag or by what kind of position you have. When we get to heaven and we meet our Lord and we are judged, we're not going to say, well, he was an apostle, he was a preacher, he was a prophet. All that doesn't matter. What matters is we're born again, we're in the family of God, we're faithful to do what God wants us to do, we belong to Jesus. That's what's important. And we will be rewarded for the things that we do for our Lord. We will be rewarded not for what kind of name we had, not for even what kind of church we went to. It's important to go to the right church. It's important to go to a good church. But if you're a Pentecostal, if you go to heaven, that name's going to fall off. If a person goes to hell, it's going to burn off. Doesn't matter the name. The only name that matters is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He is the name that matters. His name is what's important. It's not Matthias or Justice or Tony or Bill or George or Sue. The only name that really matters is the name of Jesus.
Amen.
When we come to Him, we are elected. We are chosen. We are chosen. We're not the frozen chosen either. We're the hot chosen. When we come to Jesus, we are elected. We are part of the elect. We are part of the elite. We are part of the chosen. We are special. There's nothing special in ourselves about us, but we're special because He makes us special. We're special because we belong to Him. And these two men were nominated and only one was elected. It may be only one elected in this election, but both of them were chosen in the kingdom of God. The Bible talks about John the Baptist. He was the greatest among those who were born of women. And Jesus said, the least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Just think about it. If you consider yourself the least, I'm the least. I'm just one that would be the most unlikely of the unlikelies. One who would be not chosen. One who would be overlooked. One who would never be asked to do anything. But if you're the least in the kingdom of God, you're greater than John the Baptist, and he was a great person. The least in the kingdom of God. Jesus gives us a place in his family just to be invited. There was a time when we didn't find fault in the church. We didn't find fault with the preacher. We didn't find fault with the music. We were just grateful to be in the door. Sometimes we forget. We've been so long that we get used to it, and we start looking around and seeing how people are dressed and seeing what they do and finding fault and measuring out and going by these things, who's going to get the vote and who's going to do this. We ought to remember that we were in sin. We were far away from God. We had no hope, and we were lost. And just to be welcome in the door, just to have a place to get in the door, was more than we would ever deserve. Amen. Much less to have a part in God's family, to be forgiven of our sins, to have your alcohol taken away, to have your addictions taken away, to have your emotional self healed by the power of God. Amen. It's worth something to look and see that you have been elected into the family of God, that you have been adopted into the family of God, and you've been chosen. You're more than just a servant, you're a son. And because you are a son, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. You've been chosen. We are heirs of God and joint heirs of Jesus Christ, and we're part of his family. We may have a big ministry, we may not have a big ministry, but we're part of the family of God. From every tribe and nation and tongue, from all over the world, those who are born again, those who know the Lord, those who are redeemed, it's wonderful to know that you can be humble before God, and you can pray, and nobody else can even hear what you say. And the God of heaven, way up there on his throne, he hears your prayers, he answers your prayers, he knows what you're talking about.
Amen.
And it's wonderful to know that somebody like you and I, just a little old person like us, we can pray, and the God of heaven says, wait a minute, I hear him calling. He's calling my name. And it's almost like that there's God has to be God to be able to do that. But all the angels and all the shouting and rejoicing that's going on in heaven, it's like God turns that off, and there's a wireless connection just between you and God alone.
Amen.
There is no ambience. There's no noise. God hears you and you hear God. It's like you're the only two people in the universe. Mm-hmm. And that's the way it is. God hears us when we call. He hears us when we pray. We don't have to doubt and wonder whether God's going to hear us. God heard those people. They said, Lord, you know the hearts of all men. Show whether these two you've chosen. And they gave their vote. That's all you can do. You have a vote, you have a voice, that's all you can do. And God let it come out. And it came out the right way. You don't have to worry. God heard their prayer. And he answered their prayer. And he does us the same way. No matter if it's a big thing we think like election, or if it's something that we try to get out of the kitchen. We go in the kitchen and say, what did I come in here for? Well, whatever it is, God helps us. He hears us. Leave your glasses, he hears you. You lose your keys, he helps you find them.
Amen.
Whatever you need, God helps us, and he's there with us. It may be just a little thing. What should I have for dinner tonight? What should I have for, I don't know, where we came from, breakfast, dinner, and supper. We say dinner, they have dinner. High-class folks have dinner at nighttime. Dinner's supposed to be in the middle of the day, you know. Supper's at nighttime. Whatever it is, God will help you. It's like God says sometimes, just make your choice. I'm glad you asked me about it, but just have what you want to have. God doesn't really care what we have, but He wants us to include Him in everything we do.
Amen.
And life would be so much better if people included God in everything they did.
Amen.
This election of Matthias is probably a strange thing to talk about in a message, but it's in the Bible, and I thought you might want to see it and hear it and read about it. Most of all, that's what the Lord wanted us to talk about tonight. So that's what we did. We did what the Lord wanted us to do.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
You have been listening to a sermon from Acts chapter 1 entitled Election of Matthias. Make sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior and you know Him as your Lord today. This has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.